a third study on the book of Daniel. Oscar Baker is speaking. This is under the Truth for Today ministry. And before we take up where we left off last, I'd like to read a little bit of introduction here, written by Dr. Joseph A. Seiss about 1879, over 100 years ago. And he has some wise ideas on different things, and especially on the gospel in the stars. And so he says, "I take Nebuchadnezzar to have been a man of a deeper, broader, and nobler nature than Napoleon the Bonaparte. He was a great warrior and a much greater emperor. He was a man of larger intelligence, of less selfishness, had a much more generous and earnest mind. He was impulsive and hasty at times, and even harsh. But his impulses were not mere passions, and were generally founded upon correct reasonings. He was quick in forming conclusions, and very firm in carrying them into effect. He mostly did his own thinking, and spoke and acted officially according to his own convictions, no matter against whom or where they went, what they went. He was a heathen potentate, absolute in his authority, but he had a deep religious sense and was greatly influenced by it, and came the nearest to being a true servant of God of all the heathen kings of whom we have any account. And he beheld evidence of the presence and power of God. He noted them, acknowledged them, and fashioned his actions accordingly. He had a conscience and a strong perception of honor, duty, and right. When he gave his word, he kept it to the full. When he beheld sham and falsehood, he was severe upon it. When he saw the divine hand, he bowed before it, and used his royal place and prerogative to give others the benefit of what he himself knew and felt. When convinced that messengers of the Most High were before him, he honored him and gave glory to the God of heaven, and was not ashamed to make confession before all men of what his heart believed. He sometimes forgot himself in the midst of his greatness and glory, and took to himself honors which evinced an overweening pride. But when punished for it, he frankly confessed it and proclaimed it to the whole empire, that men might know and fear the God of heaven. He never entirely let go the idolatry in which he was reared, for he never failed to hold and confess the infant superiority of one God, even the God of heaven, over all the idol gods of his kingdom. He was not a saint, but he was nearer to being one than some who profess the true religion and have greater opportunities and fewer hindrances than he possessed. We cannot but admire his reverent ingenuousness and appreciation under the proofs of the majesty and mercy and help of God in the matter of his dream. Though the sublime head of the greatest of empires, no false dignity prevented him from prostrating himself before the young prophet in acknowledgment of the one almighty God, and of young Daniel, his true messenger. Such holy services his heathen education ideas suggested he once commanded to be rendered. Our modern savants and legislators seem to think that the state has no use for the doctrine and counsels of those who make known the will and mind of God, that the teachings of inspiration had better be excluded from the public schools, and that lest the ministers of Bible Christianity have to say or do in matters of education, legislation, and jurisprudence, the safer for the community. To such, of course, it was a great weakness in Nebuchadnezzar to think and believe that a man in communion with heaven and able to declare the rights and purposes of the Lord of Kings was a proper person for the government to exalt and honor, or suitable to be made a counselor, judge, and administrator in affairs of state, or fit to be invested with the presidency over all the institutes of learning and the schools of wisdom. But God pronounced him the golden head of a golden kingdom is nothing to the point. He did not live amid the unenduring wisdom of an age of miry clay. How could he be a right reasoning philosopher? And yet I take his side and claim that it showed his good sense as a logician, his sound policy as a king, and his just feelings as a man, that he bowed adoringly before the spirit of inspiration that he acknowledged and proclaimed the worshipfulness and majesty of the God whom it attested, and that he at once constituted the man through whom it came, the ruler or the sultan over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Just to give you an idea there of what some of our good scholars think, and give us a picture of Nebuchadnezzar. I would agree that he's probably one of the greatest of our heathen kings or potentates, want to call them, that we have in history. Now, we have read of many of them in our histories, ancient history, medieval modern history, and so on. But somehow, Nebuchadnezzar is unique. He stands out a little different from the rest of them. Now, we were down to verse 15 in chapter 3 of Daniel. We left hanging right in midair. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Here is this great golden image, 60 cubits high, 6 cubits in width, of gold. Now, whether it was overlaid with gold or solid gold, I wouldn't know, but I think it'd take an awful lot of gold, and it'd be pretty heavy to build up one like that. But at least it speaks of it being gold. And so he's going to give them another chance. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalter, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, you're not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, they haven't been doing any reasoning. They haven't tried to find any excuses or anything of the kind. They're obedient to God without trying to sidestep things. And so they say, well, we're just not careful. We're not full of care about this thing. We got our minds made up. We're going to obey God. That's the idea. And so they answer, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king, some way. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods or worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Period. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Now you probably are wondering where Daniel was in all this. Well, we don't know. Nothing said about it. He might be in a distant province tending some business. We don't know. At least he isn't in the picture. He wasn't there. And he, Nebuchadnezzar, commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Too hot for them. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar seeing things, huh? Well, that's what some of your theologians will tell you. He got a little overwrought. His mind cracked a little and he was seeing things. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. I imagine he stayed far enough away not get scorched. And spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was in hair their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, manure pile, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And that is the end of chapter 3. Now let's go on to chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God has wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar was at rest, mine own house, and flourishing in my palace. This is Nebuchadnezzar himself speaking now, remember. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told a dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. And thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. He remembers his dream this time. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat or food for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the bowels thereof, and all flesh, man and beast, was fed of it. I saw in my visions of my head, upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, and a holy one came down from heaven. A watcher, an angel, something of that kind. He cried aloud and said thus, "Hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of the roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men." This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men in my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in thee. Notice yet that he is not ready to acknowledge the Supreme God. His idolatry sticks with him to the end. He may have made further confessions, but somehow idolatry has hold of him. And I could probably give you some reasons for that, but I don't believe this is a place to do that. Ask another question outside of our study here. And it's a rather a ticklish proposition. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for an hour, 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, "Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee." Belteshazzar answered and said, "My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies." It's bad news for Nebuchadnezzar, you can see that. And Daniel is hesitant to interpret it. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown, and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. Of course, you can see it's Nebuchadnezzar and his dominion, as represented by this great tree. And whereas the king saw a watcher, and an holy one coming down from heaven, and saying, "Hew the tree down, and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof on the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till 7 times, 7 years, pass over him." This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. And notice this is a very solemn occasion. And we can have a little sympathy probably for the old king. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon the lord the king. that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Pretty hard to break the will of a man like that, isn't it? King of all the earth. You might say he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, as far as the earth is concerned at that time. That was his position. He was proud of it. And that's where he had to have a little coming down. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. His kingdom be kept for him. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Now, speaking of tranquility, is that a king is reigning for a long time in peace. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. This hasn't come to pass yet, but note. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Look at what I've done. And while the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. He's going to have to understand that this wasn't his doing, that God could take, give kingdoms and so on. And Nebuchadnezzar was entirely under the power and dominion of God, and he had to acknowledge it. It took him 7 years to do it. I expect some of us are more stubborn than he was. As I said before, he's a man to be admired and just and so on, but oh, this was nasty. And all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon? And so while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee. I'm repeating that a little bit to make it emphatic. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were growing like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Wouldn't that be a sight? A man out here, imagine he's a beast and probably going on all fours. And what a sight he'd be for a dignified king, naked, except for the hairs growing out of his feathers, great claws on his fingers and his toes. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. That is, after the 7 years. And mine understanding returned unto me. Notice the lack of understanding. Now, I'm not going to give you a diagnosis here particularly on this. There is a disease among people called lycanthropy. which they imagine that they're a wolf or something like that. In fact, that's where the name comes from. I can't say they imagine they're a wolf, but there are other things. They imagine they're other beasts or birds. There's also a form of demon possession that goes along with this sort of thing, too, which is a separate thing, not a mental derangement. And there are some who might even add to that. But whatever it is, it makes no difference. God brought it upon him, and Nebuchadnezzar went through with it. And he awoke and came to himself. And so he recognizes that there is one that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Any man bold enough to speak up to God and say, oh, what are you doing? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride is able to abase. He didn't say here that he was God of the gods or above the gods and so on. They recognized him as the King of heaven. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he had some rulers today who would make confessions like that? Well, they're pretty scarce. In the United States, we have had presidents who would acknowledge these things, would have been happy. And yet, it looks as if we were going to the worst too. These things are failing. Now we're going to jump a few years. King Nebuchadnezzar leaves the scene. He finally dies. And in the year 426, we open up chapter 5. And the year 426 is the year that the decree went out to rebuild and restore Jerusalem. Nehemiah was cupbearer to King Ahasuerus, Esther being the queen, and he found favor with the king. He was sad. The king asked him what was wrong, what ailed him, and he was sorry because he had just heard after these years that Jerusalem had been destroyed and the temple burnt. That news had not come back to Babylon, at least to the captives. The king was sorry for him, and he liked Nehemiah. Ahasuerus seemed to be a pretty decent sort of a king, in some ways more so, I guess, than Nebuchadnezzar. And so he, in the long run, furnishes Nehemiah and Ezra too with what money and materials they needed, made Nehemiah governor, and they went back to rebuild the temple and restore Jerusalem. And that is an interesting story if you read the books of Nehemiah and Ezra. Going back after the 70 years of desolations to rebuild their city and their beloved temple. How happy the people must have been that they could be restored to their land. Remember that Israel had the promises of the fathers, and this was a sacred, holy land to them. It was promised to them that it would be theirs forever. And yet there were times of failure. And it's not theirs even today. No. We don't even know whether they're Jews there or not. Can't tell. That's all hidden until the time that God reveals who Jews are. And they will be brought out from among all the lands of the earth, all the nations, by Jehovah's Witnesses, the 144,000. Read very carefully the 7th chapter of Revelation. Note every word that's in it as you go. You might be misled. And then read chapter 14. But note especially in chapter 7 who those were who had gone through great tribulation. Well, who were to go through tribulation? Why, Israel. And there they are, clothed in white, overcomers, a multitude no man can number, the result of the ministry of the 144,000 among the nations of the earth at that time, a coming time, a future time. I'm giving a little bit of a view of the four of what's going to happen someday, because it's all very closely connected to dates and times and so forth, what we find in Daniel, especially when we get to chapter 9. Give me a little foreview here. Now we are ready for chapter 5. And here the kingdom has changed. There was another king after Nebuchadnezzar, his son, and then his grandson, Nabonidus, and his son, Belteshazzar, and they shared the kingdom half and half. And while the father is away, the little boy, that's what was in him, a little boy, he's a man, while dad's away, he begins to play, as children do, and he has a great feast. They're going to have a big time, just like some youngsters do yet today when the folks are away. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Now that's something a monarch didn't do. They didn't drink before their people. They would drink, but not before their people. But he belittles himself from the very start. And Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Now they had plenty of vessels. They didn't have to go and get those out. But he's bound, bent, and determined that he is going to worship his gods, and any other god like the Israelites had and so on was out of the picture. And that they didn't mean a thing, that God didn't mean a thing. And so he would drink wine out of the vessels that came from the temple, were dedicated to holy service. And Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar, as his grandfather, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines, might drink therein. Remember, there isn't a word in the Hebrew for grandfather, so we use the word father, and so we have to figure the rest out. That's the reason for that. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood and of stone, having a great, hilarious time praising the gods. In the same hour, that is the same time, about that time when they were at the height of their celebrating, drunken, hilarious, the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Wouldn't that be ghostly? And of course, especially the people who are half drunk or drunk, it'd be all the more terrible. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loose. His hips all came loose, and his knees smote one against the other. He was a nervous wreck. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." The third ruler, well, he was a second because he was with his father, so he couldn't give second place. His father had that. He had the second, so he'd give the third place to whoever could read that and translate it and explain it. Then came in all the king's wise men. Oh, this would be quite a prize, like a $1 million prize today, and all these jackpots and stuff they have, you know, dangled around before poor people who can't afford their next meal. To bring in the astronomers, astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed in scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. I might explain to you a little bit. They could read the writing, they knew the words, but they didn't know what it meant. That was the trouble. It had a hidden meaning, and they knew it, and so they couldn't. They couldn't bring it out. The words were the language they understood, so that was no trouble. It wasn't written in Latin or something like that. Then was the king Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, and no doubt this was the wife of Nebuchadnezzar. She was queen. And incidentally, you can read about her in the history of Herodotus, about the great works that she did in her reign, how she built great earthworks, a great lake, canals, and so on about Babylon. I can't go into detail here. It was mighty works that she did. Her name was Nicotris, N-I-C-O-T-R-I-S. And sometime later, there was a queen in Egypt with the same name. And she did great works in canals and embankments and so forth. Strange how these names pop up. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. She didn't have any part in it. She had more sense than that. And the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. Don't look so bad. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him." Now it's his grandfather again. "Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father," grandfather, "the king, I say, thy father, made master are the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belshazzar." Almost like this fellow's name is Belshazzar. Just leave an E out. "Now let Daniel be called and he will show the interpretation." In all of this terror, consternation among the people, the crowd, it was infectious. The queen keeps her composure. She knows. And in times like that, we find so often that women can keep their wits about them, master the situation, although they may not fare so well after the excitement is over, and they have a little more rebound. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Heard of him from his grandmother, probably. I don't know if he heard of him indirectly or not. He might have. And now the wise man, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known the thing unto me the interpretation of, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now as thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed as scarlet. That should be red purple. That's a kingly color, garb, and have a chain of gold about thy neck. Remember how that Joseph had something like that too? And shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be for thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Says, I'm not interested in kingship rewards and so forth. I'm not interested in that at all. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. I'll do that for nothing. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew. And whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, set up. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. Absolute rule. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, the grandson, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. So evidently he had known it. The people all through the kingdom probably heard about it. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver, the gold, the brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whom whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin. And this is the interpretation of the thing. Meeni, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. You're done. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. You fell far short of being a great king. Peres, upharsin. The kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him, that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night, was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 70. and 2 years old. Now we'll have to go into a little bit of discussion the next time about this and how Nebuchadnezzar's queen might have had a little hand in it and other things that go with it. But that will be for the next time. This is the end of this particular lesson.